Srimad Bhagavatam, 17th chapter, canto 1, Punishment and Reward of Kali, text number 1. Sutta uvacha
Sutta uvacha
Tatrago Mitunam
Raja
Anyamanam
Anyamanam
Anathavat
Anathavat
Dandahastam
Dandahastam
Chavishalam
Chavishalam
Dadrishe
Dadrishe
Ripalanjanam
Ripalanjanam
Sutta uvacha
Sutta uvacha
Sri Sutta Goswami said,
Tatra,
thereupon,
Gomitunam,
a cow and a bull, Raja, the king,
Hanyamanam,
being beaten, Anathavat, appearing to be bereft of their owner. Dandahastam,
Dandahastam,
with a club in hand.
Cha,
also.
Vrishalam,
lower caste Shudra. Dadrishe, observed. Nripa, a king. Lanchanam,
dressed like.
Translation, Sutta Goswami said, after reaching that place, Maharaj Parikshit observed that a lower class Shudra, dressed like a king, was beating a cow and a bull with a club as if they had no power. Purport, by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. The principal sign of the age of Kali is that lower caste Shudras, i.e., men without Brahminical culture and spiritual initiations, will be dressed like administrators or kings. And the principal business of such non-Kshatriya rulers will be to kill the innocent animals, especially the cows and the bulls, who shall be unprotected by their masters, the bona fide Vaishyas, the mercantile community. In the Bhagavad Gita 18:44, it is said that the Vaishyas are meant to deal in agriculture, cow protection, and trade. In the age of Kali, the degraded Vaishyas, the mercantile men, are engaged in supplying cows to slaughterhouses. The Kshatriyas are meant to protect the citizens of the state, whereas the Vaishyas are meant to protect the cows and bulls and to utilize them to produce grains and milk. The cow is meant to deliver milk, and the bull is meant to produce grains. But in the age of Kali, the Shudra class of men are in the posts of administrators, and the cows and bulls, or the mothers and the fathers, unprotected by the Vaishyas, are subjected to the slaughterhouses organized by the Shudra administrators. Sutta Vacha, Tatra Go Mitunam Raja, Anyamanam Anatava, Dandahastam Chavrishalam, Dadrishe Nipalanchanam. Well, the duty of the Kshatriyas is to make sure that everyone in the kingdom is protected from being harmed unnecessarily. Everyone, of course, has to undergo the tribulations of Adi Bhautikam, Adi Atmikam, and Adi Daivikam miseries. But of course, even in a pure Vaishnava's kingdom, even those things are stopped. Even no son will die before his father dies. Even there's not even too much heat or too much cold. There's just the right amount of rain. This is all described in relationship to Maharaj Yudhisthira's rule and also the rule of Raj Ram, Lord Ramachandra, that the rain came at night when it didn't disturb anyone, and during the day there was sun. So production was very suitable. When there was a, during the time of Lord Krishna, one Brahmin, he had a son, and the son died. So So he went to the king and said, what kind of ruler are you? How is it that my son died? You must be doing something sinful. That's how responsible the king is, or the government, for the well-being of the citizens. That even a son should not die untimely. And how can they bring that about? They have to follow the principles of divine Daivi Varnashram. If Daivi Varnashram is utilized, then the whole complexion of the world will change. The whole society will change. Because the society will be divided. Chatur Varnyam Maya Shrishtam Guna Karma Vibhagashaha. Be divided into four divisions. Brahmanas, Kshatriyas, Vaishyas, and Shudras. And each one will have their important responsibilities. The Brahmanas are responsible for giving knowledge, spiritual guidance. The Kshatriyas are required for protecting the people and administrating so that they shouldn't be in anxiety about that they're going to be harmed. So therefore, we can see that a good Kshatriya would not agree to have all these airplanes and people flying around in automobiles going very fast paced, breakneck speed, because it simply puts people in anxiety. And in that state of anxiety and fear, how can they achieve the goal of life? How can they be peaceful to understand self-realization? They should live a very simple life. Simple living and high thinking. This high-flying, fast-paced, ugra-karmic civilization is not creating an environment which is conducive for spiritual advancement. We see that people are so much afraid and anxiety, and they're taking to sinful activities. City life means sinful life. Why do they have cities? Their cities mean a good place for concentrated sinful activities. Or you can have more sin in a shorter amount of time. You can do one sinful activity after the next, repeat, just constantly. You can go from the casino over to the meat restaurant, to the bar, to the prostitute house, and then just keep revolving one after the other. Then for some subtle sinful activity, you go to the movies and other sinful activities. And then the universities are supporting the whole system by Darwin's theory, saying that everything's happening just by chance, and that we are the modern man is the ultimate evolutionary production. The perfection of evolution is us. And therefore, whatever we do is right, because there's no God in control to give right or wrong. And nature, somehow or other, has evolved to this state, so whatever we do is right. Therefore, we feel that it's all right for us to send millions of animals to the slaughterhouse. Why? Because we're the ultimate evolution. We're the perfection of nature. There is nothing higher than nature, according to them. Therefore, there's no wrong for us. Who can judge us? We've eliminated God. It's like recently when the President of the United States was discussing this recent catastrophe. So he was saying, for all those who have died and their families, let us take a moment of silence. Couldn't even say, let us pray to God. The best he could say is a moment of silence. You see how God has been removed from all aspects. God is the villain. Whenever something bad happens, it's God's fault. Whenever something good happens, we did it. We take the credit for all the advantages and the successes. But when anything bad happens, it's God's fault. We bring Him back in just as a scapegoat. Religion is the scapegoat. God is the scapegoat. You know what scapegoat means? Someone to blame. God is the person or the thing that gets blamed whenever things are bad. In the real Daivi Varnashram system, no cows and bulls could be harmed. No one could even raise their hand against them without being punished. Here, there was one person who dared to stand with a club and was beating the cow and the bull. And Maharaj Parikshit was immediately pulled out his sword and ready to cut off his head. Finished. That is the proper use of violence. The improper use of violence is to beat the cow and the bull. Why? Because the cow and the bull are specifically given by God to human society to give them religious principles. Dharma. Dharma the bull. Because they represent religion. Just look at the cow. She's in the mode of goodness. She eats grass. Doesn't even kill the grass. Just eats the top part. Turns it into milk. And milk is required for human society to produce good, strong bodies, healthy bodies, as well as for sacrifices, pouring ghee on the sacrificial fire. The sacrifices are offered through the ghee and for making so many nice preparations which are offered to the Lord. By drinking milk, one develops finer brain tissues. And by developing finer brain tissues, one can understand transcendental knowledge. Otherwise, when one is very dull, his brain is not very developed. He can't understand transcendental topics. Like the animals. They don't have very good brains. Their brain is, like you see a dog, for example. He sleeps so much every day, simply sleeping, and he's very happy sleeping. And when he's awake, the activities are not, his thinking is not very elevated. So we have non-Kshatriya rulers. Non-Kshatriya rulers means they're not trained how to actually protect the people. They don't know what to do. Last night we were speaking. The lady was saying, why can't we just become self-realized without any teacher? How can you do anything without training? How can you learn how to do anything valuable? These kshatriyas are not trained. All they're trained in is how to drink wine, have illicit sex, take intoxication and eat meat, and gamble. This is their training. And how to do it in a sophisticated way. How can they possibly lead? How can we expect a happy situation in the world when you have leaders like this? The Brahmanas are no better. They're saying, the so-called religious leaders are telling them, yes, you can do this and that in the name of God. You can go kill people. Just destroy them and it'll be pleasing to God. So they're also not qualified. So the Kshatriyas are not qualified. The Brahmanas are not qualified. The Vaishyas are not protecting the cows. They're not qualified. And the Shudras are given independence. and given wealth, and they create havoc. They create violence in everyone. So it's a very horrible situation. And the only hope is the reintroduction of Krishna consciousness into society. And that's why the International Society for Krishna Consciousness is the most important activity that anyone can perform. It's the not only welfare for the humans, it's not only humanitarian, but it's for all living entities. Suridam sarvadehinam. Krishna consciousness will also give relief to the poor animals who are suffering terribly at the hands of the demons. And how should we bring that about? Simply by chanting Hare Krishna. We shouldn't try to take the law into our own hands. Because we're not in the position of Kshatriyas. Kshatriya, yes. If a Kshatriya is present, he'll immediately take up his sword and challenge everyone. All right, now we're going to do it Krishna's way. But we're not Kshatriyas. We can see that. If we were Kshatriyas, we would have already done that. We're not trained as Kshatriyas. But we are being trained as Brahmanas, so we can give advice. That much we can do. We chant, we perform the yajna. The Brahmanas' activities are patana patana, yajana yajana, dana pratigraha. So, patana means studying Vedic scriptures, so we must do that. Everyone must study Prabhupada's books, because Prabhupada has given us the essence of all Vedic literatures. Nigamakal putaror galitam palam, shukamakad amrita dravyu samutam. Pibhata Bhagavatam Rasam Alayam Ahuraho Rasika Bhuvi Bhavuka. This Bhagavatam is the ripened fruit of all Vedic knowledge. And Bhagavad Gita is the essence of Mahabharata, and it's the summary of the Upanishads, Gita Upanishad. So, Prabhupada has given us the perfect understanding of all Vedic knowledge, and we have to study that. Then, yajana, patana, patana, then we have to teach others. Our business is teachers. Brahmana means teacher. We have to teach everyone. And how do we teach them? By distributing books and by preaching about the books. That's it. That's our teaching. We don't have to go and study some mundane philosophy or mundane subjects in university to learn how to teach. This is nonsense. We have all the knowledge right here. Just teach this. Then you become the perfect teacher. You become perfect guru. Jare dake tare ka Krishna upadesh. Amara gyai guru hana tare desh. Whatever, wherever you go, whomever you meet, simply speak of Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam. That's Lord Chaitanya's instruction. And what will happen? The whole world will change. People will change. You have to preach. And then yajana. Yajana means to perform the sacrifice. So we have our deity worship, we have our pancha triki vidhi, that's part of the sacrifice, and we teach others how to do that. But we also perform the sankirtan yajna, chanting of the holy names, spreading of Krishna consciousness, holding big festivals, just like you're doing last night. I heard that Tattavada Prabhu has performed 2,000 festivals like that.
Lectures in college.
Yeah, well, that's it. So, this is the sacrifice for this age. And we're doing it on a small scale, but if the leaders, if they appreciate, then they can organize on a big scale. They have the facilities. Prabhupada always said that. He would approach the leaders and say, "Why don't you help me? I'm doing the best I can on a small scale, but if you help, we can do it on a large scale." He wrote to Mahatma Gandhi, "Now you've got Swaraj, you've got independence from the British, so why don't you travel around with me and we'll preach Bhagavad Gita all over the world. You carry Bhagavad Gita, but you don't preach Bhagavad Gita. You don't understand Bhagavad Gita." Prabhupada wrote it. He said, "Come on with me. We'll spread it on a large scale." But instead, he preferred not to hear the advice of Srila Prabhupada, and instead he was assassinated. Ignominious death, inglorious. All the things he fought for were defeated. Whereas if he had taken a Bhagavad Gita actually, then he would have been glorious. This is the real glory of life, is to do something for the service of the Lord. Of course, God doesn't need anything that we can do. Krishna is self-sufficient. He can accomplish everything. But still, it's our glory if we fight on His behalf, just like Arjuna. Krishna told him, better you fight, and even if you lose, don't worry. It's glorious, because you're working on my behalf. Death is certain anyway, today or tomorrow. We can't stop that. But if one utilizes his prana dhana diya vacha, his life air, his wealth, his intelligence, and his words for the service of the Lord, then his life is perfect, and he becomes eligible, or shall we say qualified, to go back to Godhead. Krishna wants to see. Who wants to come back to Godhead? Someone says, I want to go. Well, what is the proof that you want to go? Manmana abhava mad bhakto madjaji mam namaskaru mami vaishasi satyam te pratijane priyosime. Krishna says, always think of me, become my devotee, worship me, and offer your homage unto me. Thus you will come to me without fail. So that is the qualification for going back to Godhead. Someone utilizes every moment of yarta kalatvam for serving the Lord. No wasting time. We don't have time for sports. We don't have time for reading nonsense literature. We don't have time for cinemas. We don't have time for any of these things. Our time is short. We don't even know how long we have. But we have to utilize our time for advancing in Krishna consciousness. That is the purpose of human life. So we can give advice to the government if they want to hear. We can tell them exactly how to deal with all these problems. And the problems are insurmountable. They don't know what to do. If it's not one problem, it's another problem. If it's not the problem of pollution, then it's the problem of terrorism. If it's not the problem of terrorism, it's the problem of crime. If it's not the problem of crime, it's the problem of inflation, or scarcity, or droughts, or one after the other. Depression. So, the Krishna consciousness solves all the problems in one stroke. Therefore, it's the most important activity, the most important knowledge, and we have to perform the Sankirtan Yajna very enthusiastically, learn this knowledge, so that our mind doesn't become confused. That's important also, because how can we carry on teaching others if we're confused? Any questions?
Prabhupada says that the first thing we should conquer over is the weakness of the heart. So how to do it?
Chant Hare Krishna. Take prasadam. Worship the deity. Associate with devotees. Preach. Hearing. By hearing, the weakness of the heart means ignorance. So we have to overcome ignorance with transcendental knowledge. Why am I weak in the heart? Because I'm strong in my other senses. My other senses, the urges, are very strong, but I can't overcome them because I'm subservient. I'm Godas instead of Goswami. I'm Godas. Therefore, my heart is weak. The heart is weak, but the senses are strong. Right? If someone's got a weak-hearted in spiritual life, but his senses aren't weak, they're quite strong. He wants to enjoy his senses. That's weak-heartedness. So, heart means cheta. Cheta means also mind or consciousness. Mind and the consciousness are weak because we're letting them be controlled by the go, by the senses. And the go, the senses are being controlled by the sense objects. Matram. Matra sparshas tukonteya shitoshna sukadukada agama paino nichas tangs tatiksha subharata. Tangs tatiksha to mean he should tolerate these attractions. The sense objects are pulling the senses. Just like the magnet pulls the iron. It's an attraction. But we have to turn the direction of the senses. Instead of trying to enjoy the sense objects, we have to direct them towards Krishna. Who is Krishna? Means all attractive. He attracts Karshati. He attracts our sense. He's Rishikesha. Rishikesha Sevanam Bhakti Ruchate. So when our attention is, our senses are engaged in the service of Rishikesh, then that's perfection. Bhagavatam says that the senses are representations, symbolic representations of the demigods. It's like our arms. They're symbolic representations of Indra. They're controlled by Indra. And the different, the eyes are controlled by the sun. Because without the sun, without light, your eyes are useless. The tongue is controlled by the water, varuna, because you need moisture in order to taste anything. In this way, all the different senses, mitra, varuna, are controlled. But ultimately, who's above the demigods? It's Krishna. Therefore, he's Rishikesh. Material senses are controlled by the demigods, but the spiritual senses are controlled by Krishna. He's Madan Mohan. In the material world, Cupid is the most important principle. Yan mai tu nadigri amedi sukkam itu chum, the sex desire. Cupid has got everyone bewildered. But on the spiritual platform, Krishna is this the transcendental Cupid, Madan Mohan. He attracts the minds of all spiritual beings. So we have to turn our attention to Madan Mohan. Meditate upon the form of Madan Mohan. And with Krishna. Madan Mohan Mohini. Radha Krishna. By meditating on Radha Krishna, we lose our attraction for the material things. Gain a higher taste. Any other questions?
This very university, is it that it's teaching like the Bhagavad Gita and Hamsa Dhabi could be the first? Or maybe you would give a seminar in Helsinki?
Yes, it's teaching both. That's what our movement is designed to do, to teach Pancha Chikki Vidhi and Bhagavad Vidhi. Yes. Pancha Chikki Vidhi, all the principles of cleanliness and deity worship and offering, how to offer foodstuffs, how to prepare foodstuffs, how to decorate the deity, how to understand the deity, how to bow down before the deity, all the principles of nectar devotion. One should not go into the temple room with shoes on or carried on a palanquin. One should wear clean clothes. One should not put on the wrong type of tilak. One should wear proper tilak. One should worship Tulsi Devi. These are all Pancha Chikki Vidhi. And then on the other side, the philosophy of the soul and Krishna and preaching. Bhagavad Vidhi. Of the two, Bhagavad Vidhi is more important. We stress on that. But the other Pancha Chikki Vidhi is also valuable for purifying us. Any other? Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai.
Janaki Maharaj ki jai.